All right. Let's do it. Welcome to the Perfectly Sane Show, episode 257. I am Tony. With me, as always, is Jeff.
Hello.
And Fozzie.
Yeah.
Chris is not here.
No.
No. He's in Las Vegas gambling his money away.
Yeah.
Probably his child's his children's education funds, I think. Perhaps. Wasting it on some sort of Batman machine. I don't know. I don't understand this machine.
$15 on roulette, so I mean.
He did what?
He won $15 with roulette.
$15.
How much is he down at that?
Yeah, exactly.
That's not that much.
I mean, if he's up 15, you just call that a win because you're getting free drinks in the process. So.
That's true. But the drinks stop when you stop gambling, so you need to keep going.
Oh, God, I'm in trouble.
That's why you play the nickel slots.
That's why you play poker.
Dude, you can just sit there for hours. You could play penny slots, put $20 in, and see ya in like 2 minutes. Mm-hmm. Fuck the slots. Do they give you free drinks when you sit at the tables? Because that's what I'll do. I'll go play blackjack and fucking grind it out and get
hammered. They do. And blackjack, poker, they bring you free drinks there, too.
I'm going to do some poker, too, yeah.
I don't understand those other games, though. Poker, I understand. I played some roulette back in the day, but, you know.
You don't play blackjack?
I have played blackjack. It's a lot of luck in blackjack.
It's super simple. Yeah, there's luck, but like
I prefer to play against other people where I can beat them.
You're playing against the house, man. It's if you play basic strategy,
it's still money losing. Even basic strategy.
If you have yes, it is, but not by a lot. And if you have this is my opinion. If you have enough for 20 bets, you will be good. You could make that last for fucking hours, and you could come out way big on top. And I'll teach you. I'll teach you one day. It's all about whether because you increase your bets here and there, and it's whether you like win when you're increasing your bets or not. Because if you know you keep like you win, you double your bet. You win, you double your bet. Well, if you lose on that third bet where you like, because I will go back down after a couple. But if you lose on that big bet, that's when it sucks. You're like, fuck.
Yes. Then
everything I just won, I'm back at square one. I don't know. That's how I play. If anyone has any poker tips for me, send them in.
That is actually a good strategy. However, that's why they have table limits. It kind of ruins them if you get up to that point.
Yeah, well, I don't increase. Like, the way I'll do it is I will increase my bet 3 times and then go back to my original bet. Or if I lose, I go back to – so say I'm on my second bet and I lose, I go back to my original bet.
Mm-hmm.
So that's.
So then you end up losing big.
it depends. Because if you're losing on your small bets, like, you know, your $5 or whatever, your $10, right. No biggie, whatever. But if you're losing when you're putting up, you know, you got your big bet and a fucking 11 comes down, you double down on it, and all of a sudden you got, like, you know, $100 riding out of his hand, and you know, the dealer gets 21 and you get fucking 20, you're like, fuck. That's when, you know, it could get a little
hairy at that point.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
But we do talk about games on this podcast, right? It's not a gambling podcast.
Nah.
Maybe it should be a gambling podcast. We should change that. I guess we should start off by talking about the big game of the week, which is probably the last big game of the week for a while. Batman. Arkham Knight.
Yeah.
The Arkham.
You guys have been both been playing Batman?
No.
No? Fozzie, you haven't played Batman?
No.
What is wrong with you?
Well, I figure it's like, okay, here's the open world game I kind of want to play. I'm interested in. But then I started thinking, wait a second, I have Witcher 3, and I've barely put any time into that. So
yeah, but that's like weeks old now. Come on.
So what? That just means that I'm going to play this for like 6 hours, and I'm going to be like, okay, I'm good. Thank you.
I'm happy I waited for Batman, I'll tell you that much.
Okay.
So what you should do is you should sell Witcher 3.
Oh god, no, don't sell Witcher 3.
No, I take it back. I can't comment on Witcher 3, I don't own it, but
game is fantastic.
It's been a while though since I've had a nice big fat meaty game like this all up inside my console.
There is a lot of meat there. It's a lot to chew.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to get my mouth around it almost. It's so much, but yeah. So Batman.
Batman.
What do you think, Tony?
I'm really enjoying it. I guess the big feature this time around is the Batmobile.
Yes.
Which I had read some good reviews about it and some bad reviews, so I wasn't sure whether this would be like the Mako of Batman. But I've actually enjoyed driving around in it. It's the thing, it's a beast. It runs over everything.
Dude, when it first shows up, it's so sexy.
Yeah.
Like the beginning of this game is very, like, I think it starts off like with a nice fast pace, and they show off that Batmobile right away, and they, like, zoom in on one of the tires.
It's good they introduce it right away because it is, like, involved in everything at this point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I hear a lot about controversy with this Batmobile.
You're liking it, huh, Tony?
I do like it.
I like it as well, but I'm, like, mixed on it. Like, I like it in some things, and I don't like it in other things. I like it in puzzles, and I like when you're chasing someone down and shooting at them, like, just fucking tearing shit up through the city, you know? But I do not like these forced battles that you're thrown in with, like, tanks that are all over. It's kind of, like, it's not terrible, it's not bad or anything, it's just very repetitive. Like, you will do that a lot, and it starts to feel like padding almost, where it's like, you can't get into this building until you clear out all these motherfuckers that are outside of it. And it's like, the battle is the same thing every time. You just kind of dance around with these other
right.
teams and shoot at them.
Did you change the control settings?
No, I don't mind them. I saw the thing saying how you could switch it, and I thought about it for a second, but I was like, they never bothered me. Like, I don't mind.
It annoyed the crap out of me every time. So
really?
the right trigger is obviously move your vehicle, as it is in almost everything. But it had the brake mapped to X, I think.
Yeah.
Which is completely counterintuitive to me.
Well, you don't have to brake, man.
And there's that battle mode switch, which you had to hold down, I believe, the left bumper.
You hold on the left trigger.
Or is it the left trigger?
Yeah.
To stay in battle mode, and when you let go, you went out of battle mode. It just, those were so completely counterintuitive to me. So I changed the controls so that and this is the only way you can remap the controls, but the left trigger then becomes the brake, and then you hit B, and the switch to battle mode is a toggle instead of, like, having to hold the button down. That made a lot more sense to me. It made it a lot easier to control.
Yeah, it sounds like it would, but I found nothing wrong with the way they had it, and they must have had some sort of reasoning, you know, in their heads for why that should be the default.
I mean, at least there's a way to change that if you want.
Yeah,
right,
if you don't like it.
That should not even be a complaint, then. It's not like you're stuck with it.
I do feel like, though, that I love how the Batmobile is used outside of, like, the tank stuff. Like, and the tank stuff's no problem, but maybe not as much of it would have been a little bit better, I think. But that's probably my one of two gripes about the game.
What's your other gripe?
My other gripe is the same thing I've had since the first one, the first one I really liked, and I was like, okay. The first one was basically a Metroid game, and then you come into Arkham City and beyond, and it's now just an open world game where you're Batman and you beat people up and shit. There's not that sense of progression. At least I haven't gotten that so far, where it's like, oh, you got this new gadget, now you could access areas you couldn't access before.
Right.
I feel like I have all the tools off the bat, and it's just about going around and being Batman.
Isn't that kind of arbitrary, though, before? Like, Batman would have all of Batman's tools to begin with. Like,
well, in the original game, he got, like,
right.
I think locked up in Arkham Asylum, so they took all his shit. And it's video gamey, where it's like, why the hell are his gadgets, like, spread out all over Arkham Asylum, in, like, special rooms after you beat a boss? But whatever, it's a video game, you know? But that's what I, like, the first game. Like, the reason that's one of my favorite games last gen is because it was a Metroid game where you're fucking Batman. Like, that, it was amazing. And that's why I couldn't get into Arkham City, but for whatever reason, I think it's been long enough. And I think I've went into this knowing I'm not going to get Metroid again, and I just accepting it on its own terms, I guess.
Right.
You know, like all the other core gameplay elements are still there, and it's still fun. Like the combat's fun, and I think the highlight of this game, and as well as Arkham Asylum, the first one, was when you get into a level, like a building, is navigating your way through it, like puzzle solving. Like that is that, and the combat, I think, is where this game shines.
And there is a lot of puzzle solving in this game.
Yes. I don't know. Was Arkham City like that?
I don't remember it being like that. I remember a lot of battling. I remember a lot of, like, sneaking around and taking guys out, but I don't remember a whole lot of puzzle solving. I think they kind of relegated the puzzle solving in that game to the Riddler stuff, and there wasn't a whole lot of it in the actual gameplay, whereas this, you need it to progress.
Yeah, you basically, you'll get in these little buildings, like levels, like I think the first one's like a chemical factory.
Yeah, Ace Chemical.
Yeah, and you're using your Batmobile to do all the puzzles too, as well, like to do a lot of them.
Right.
So that kind of adds a new element to the puzzles that weren't there before. And that stuff is like, I love that shit, you know, it's really fun. So I'm enjoying myself with this one.
They work it in really well too. The Batmobile can do a lot of stuff and none of it seems contrived, I guess. It all feels kind of natural.
Yeah, it makes sense. It's not, it doesn't feel like, here's a puzzle. It's like, well, how, if you can't get past this door, you gotta find out a way to do it, you know, using Batman's gadgets and stuff, you know. In a way, it makes sense, I guess, you know. Yeah, this could start showing up on my list in the top 10
it's,
there.
It's in my top 10, and, I've really.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll see.
I'll have to see how it shakes out. I am at 15% of... I don't know if it's counting story or everything, but I'm 15% into this
one. Oh, people didn't like City. Is that correct, or...?
No, the... was it Origin?
I did not.
People did not like. There was some objection to City, but I think Origin was the one that people really hated.
I was not a fan of City, but most people were. And I just said the reason why. Like, I just couldn't get into it, and it wasn't giving me what I liked about the first one. This, though, like Tony said, maybe this one has a little more puzzles. It looks sexier. It's been a long time since I've actually played. I haven't played all these, you know. I played the first one, and I'm basically going from the first one to this. So that's pretty cool. What do you think of the story, Tony? Like, you played through City, didn't you?
I did. And of course, both City and Asylum, the story got kind of muddled as you went through it. I don't know. This one so far, I don't think I'm far enough to really get too into it. I don't know. The way the open world is presented to you and vis-a-vis the story, it just seems like it kills the sense of urgency that you'd have otherwise. They toss some situations at you that seem like they need to be solved immediately, and it's the classic video game thing where immediately means whenever I happen to get to the waypoint.
Well, that's, you know, that's something that I noticed when I was playing earlier tonight, where I was like, you know, I'm sticking to the main story too much. I'm not trying other stuff out. But it's because, like, you know, you go straight from one mission, they're like, all right, well, now we got to do this to go save her. You know, we better go, you know, so I, like, don't stop, and then I open up the wheel, and I'm like, wait, there's all these other missions I could do. But the other, the side missions are like, there's a fucking building on fire, you have to go save these people.
Right, and you can just go whenever you want to.
It's been sitting there for fucking hours.
You know.
I guess I'll get there when I get there, and hopefully they're okay.
Fire is lost forever anyways.
The side missions I've done have been, you know, pretty good.
Yeah. I think I ran randomly into Man-Bat who's flying around, and
I did too. That scared the shit out of me.
Yeah, I was like, oh god.
Was it like when you were like grappling up a building and like about to climb up the ledge?
Yep. And yeah. There he was right on top of me.
I tried to chase him down though, and I couldn't find him. Like, you know, I selected that mission later, and I was like around where he was, and I'm like, where the fuck is he? And then I had thugs coming up to me. I was like, all right, I'm out of here. I'm done with this. Like, I could not find him. The story itself, it's nothing like too remarkable so far, but I'm at least still following it. Like at some point, some of these open world games and stuff, I just stop caring what's going on, but I'm still, it's very basic. You're trying to save the city and also save, what's his name? Sodder.
Yeah. It's hard to talk about the game plot without spoiling anything.
Well, I mean, the first hour. I don't know how big any of them are. Cause I don't know. I only played the first one. Did you notice who is voicing? Well, I don't know if Tony would notice this. Did you notice who is voicing Commissioner Gordon?
No.
It is Mike from Breaking Bad.
Interesting.
Do you watch Breaking Bad?
I don't.
Son of a bitch.
You don't watch Breaking Bad.
No.
It's over. So
isn't it over? I could go watch it now.
Well, yeah, I mean, like, did you watch it when it was not over?
No. No.
God damn it.
You're literally the last person who is
on Earth. The last person on Earth who hasn't watched Breaking Bad.
There was my girlfriend, and she rectified that, so.
Did she like it?
Yeah, she liked it a lot. Who? I don't know. You know a single person that watched that show and was like, nah. No, I don't. I can't do that. Nope.
No, I don't. But that doesn't mean I'm going to watch it. There are a lot of shows out there that I should watch.
It's not even, like, that long when you compare it to... Isn't it, what, like, 10 to 12 episodes a season?
It's a short series. Like, we watch it in, like, 2 weeks or so.
It's not like goddamn Lost, which I've burnt out on completely.
Like, if you watch 2 episodes a night, you would probably be done by, I don't know, before fucking the leaves start falling.
Yeah, but then I wouldn't play.
And honestly, the nice thing about it is that I feel like there's only one filler episode.
Yeah, there's very little filler on it.
Yeah.
And it ramps up, like, where it's like, by the time you're like halfway through season 3, you're like, god damn, dude, this show is too intense. Like, every single episode is just more and more intense.
And what I like about it, too, is that it feels realistic. There's, you know, I mean, towards the end, it's a little fantasy-like, but, like, some of these shows which has main heroes which kind of fall, like, towards, like, a darker path, like, you get pissed off at them because they kind of put themselves in these situations, but I felt like I was agreeing with a lot of points that Walter White was making along the way. So I never, like when
rails.
I watch Weeds or like how I'm watching Orange is the New Black now, like the two main characters in both those shows totally put themselves in really dumb situations that get them fucked over.
What do you think of that show, Fozzie, Orange is the New Black?
Again, like, I feel like I know it's made by the creator of Weeds because of, which it is, and you can see that. Because there's a lot of, like, similarities, and, like, I'm worried, because, like, the first 2 seasons of Weeds were fantastic, then the third one, it was getting iffy, and from there, I just discontinued watching it, and now this show's kind of like that, where I loved the first 2 seasons, the third season was pretty good, but yeah, I'm really not liking Piper, like, at all anymore.
I
care less about her at this point.
I think I watched most of the first season and part of the second season. My girlfriend really likes it. To me, that show is weird. It's like, it's funny. The characters are well written, but I don't feel like prison should be so fun. Like, I feel like someone needs to get shanked here and there. Like, give me, like, at least a couple kills a season. You know what I mean? Like, I know it's, like, it's basically a comedy, you know? But, like, you know, give
it's
me
a dark comedy. Again,
a little
kind
more
of, like,
rape.
How Weeds was.
Not there's that many people die that. In prison, Jeff. I'm just...
It's not, like, fucking Oz, dude. This isn't,
TV,
like...
I know, that's the problem.
And I think that this is, like, what, like, minimum security or something. This isn't, like, you know...
Well, here's the other thing. It's based off of, like, a true story, and it's like, this bitch was in prison for a year. How many seasons are we going to eke out of, like, 1 year? Like, what the fuck, man?
Well, yeah, that's the thing. It's like, they keep, like, finding ways where she gets into trouble with shit. So, like, that's another thing, you know? I mean, I understand. you want to keep going as long as you can, but...
That show should be, like, maybe one more season, in my opinion. Like, I don't know.
Not.
Get to the end. Come
it's
on.
Probably Netflix's most popular show.
Yeah, it's up there.
As far as, like, I mean, Daredevil's really
good. Daredevil crushed, from what I've heard, Daredevil crushed House of Cards and Orange is the New Black. From what I heard. I don't know. Really? You don't really get ratings out of it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
How do you gate?
I like Daredevil. Netflix in general, I've heard that Sense8 show is really good too, so.
Yeah, I heard
that.
Good things about it. But Daredevil was fantastic. You guys both watched it?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, I finished it.
Love that show.
I don't really like Marvel TV shows, especially TV shows, all that much, but it was good. Especially, like, towards the end, it got really good, too. Like, the last two or three episodes.
Awesome. I liked the first couple episodes.
Oh yeah.
Just learning his origins, and then also like the first time he goes into like some place and beats the fuck out of all these like gangsters. Like they shot it all from one angle down the hallway.
Right. Yeah.
And it's a 5-minute scene with no cuts. Yeah. I was like, holy shit! Like, how many hours did they spend choreographing that, you know, to get to pull that off? Like, that's insane.
I love when movies or TV shows do that, because, like, I think it's maybe unappreciated by a lot of people, but, like, yeah, that one fight scene, which was, like, 5-10 minutes long, and it was, like, really good, you know, choreography. I mean, they could easily have, like, missed the punch or, like, messed that up. It wasn't just, like, bullshit or, like, just talking. It was, like, hardcore, like, main fight, so.
All the fights in that show are good, but that one, like, my jaw just dropped. And then, like, the episode ends with him going in the room and saving the girl or whatever. I was like, whoa, dude. Like, that was the second episode. I was like, all right, I'm in. You know?
Yep.
You got me for as long as you want to do this.
Matt Murdock, you're my hero.
Anyways, speaking of superheroes.
Yes. No, we don't have anything on superheroes.
That's right, he's not a superhero. He's a detective.
Detective. I'm a detective.
There are some cool little detective parts, too, in there, where you're like, did you do the one where it's like a crime scene where, like, the girl got ejected from a car?
Yeah.
You know, you're like, going over the scene. It makes no sense because it's like, I have an evidence meter or whatever the fuck
right.
he has.
Like, he's got all this technology that doesn't exist.
It's like, it doesn't even, like, even if, like, in a science fiction sense, it doesn't make sense. It's like, if I look at this, then I will know. You're like looking at a ghost image that somehow is appearing.
Right.
But I don't know.
If I find the door, I will know.
There's another part though where you're looking at a monitor and like, I forgot what you're doing. Like you're looking at something on a TV and you have to like zoom in on something going on a TV. And that actually kind of made sense. I thought that was cool. I don't know if you remember what I'm talking about. I don't even remember.
I don't remember.
There's a thing where you're like, I think you're trying to find the Arkham Knight and you're like, you're watching someone get in or out of a car on a security camera or some shit and you had to, like,
I remember that part. You're looking at all the pictures, yeah.
That made a little more sense, but it was like a cool little, like, you know, it's a good Batman simulator they got going.
It is. I mean, I think the game is very well done and I'm really finding it entertaining and I don't understand the people who hate it, but that's just me.
Yeah, the only, like, really thing I could say down about the series is I think that the first one was the best.
Sure. Yeah, first
outside
one was iconic.
Of the boss battle.
Well, I think there's also, you know, with the first one, the fighting system was really fresh, too.
Yeah.
Not to say that it's not great, but, yeah, I feel that with that first one, like, it felt so good, like, oh, God.
I feel like
a superhero, you know?
It's really... I love it because it's simple. Like, attack is one button, but there's actually way more you could do. And it never feels like you're being forced to learn combos or anything. It was just like, you know, one button's attack, one button's counter, but you could do all these other things, too. Like, and I don't know if the first one had this, but there's these awesome environmental kills you could do. Or not kills, whatever, you stun the people. Do you guys remember if they had that? Like, there's, like, in this one, you could, like, grab a fucking light fixture out of the ceiling and slam it down on the people and shit. or like bash their head into a fucking, I don't know, like electrical box or something.
I seem to recall there being something like that in the last one. I don't think they were in the first one.
Yeah, I want to say I don't remember them in the first one. That's a really cool little touch. There's other little things in the combat that I'm sure they've added. But yeah, the combat still feels really good. It's like one of the best melee combat systems I've ever fucked around with.
I will say I feel a little behind in the tutorials. I found one of the firefighters was surrounded by guys. I'm like, all right, I've hopped into every fight so far and beat up large amounts of guys. And this one had the guys with the electric nightsticks and the guy with a knife and a guy with a gun. And I'm like, and some shield guys. And I hadn't fought any of them. Up to that point, this is a little overwhelming for me.
Oh, another thing too is you got to remember to. Well, it depends how you want to upgrade Batman, but you can upgrade your combat skills too. Like, I think you could upgrade it where you could grab those sticks out of the motherfucker's hands and like hit them with it and shit. I think I might have that. I did a side mission where they made you beat up a group of guys without getting touched. That took me about 5 or 6 tries.
I just did that before we started the show. It took me 4 tries.
Yeah.
I kept getting tackled by the dude.
Yeah, you gotta – that's something that I don't remember, and it's kind of new where you have to hit the left trigger. Those guys all come from far.
Yeah.
That what you're talking about? Yeah, yeah,
you can hit the left trigger or you can just hit A twice to hop out of the way, which is what I did because I couldn't – for some reason, I couldn't figure out the timing on the left trigger.
It's just you gotta – like. You gotta be quick on it, I think. Like, you gotta, like, as soon as you see the red over the guy's head, just fucking go for it. And it'll throw, like, a batarang out at him. Is that I wonder if we're thinking of the same one. It's where you're playing as Azrael or whatever?
Yep.
Yeah. There was something else, too, in that fight that kept, I don't know, you screw up at one moment, and all of a sudden, so I just started doing counter, 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 counter.
It works though. I love that game.
It does. I'm really liking it. I think part of the reason I'm loving it is because I've stayed away from the series for so long. Mm-hmm. But it's also just a really polished, awesome game. Except on the PC.
Apparently, because you can't buy the PC version anymore.
Yeah, throwing a little news in there.
Oops.
Yeah, that was not good. People are not happy. What happened to your Master Race now, PC gamers?
Well, it's not that. It's not their fault.
It's all their fault.
That doesn't make any sense.
If they had been better people...
They got ported. It's not like they wanted that port.
Apparently they're upset.
Apparently Rocksteady didn't work on the port either. They contracted out to a third party who they have yet to name.
Well, I would throw them under the bus immediately. Like... It wasn't us. It was Gearbox.
Right. Like whoever it happened to be.
It was the people that Gearbox had do Colonial Marines.
Maybe it was. Maybe it's one of those companies. Know, which is why they haven't named them. Because everybody like, why on earth did you ever hire them to do anything for you? What were you thinking?
They're like the hired guns of the industry, but they're really there just to like take the fall for bad decisions. We give this to them. We know it's going to come out bad, but whatever. We're saving some money.
Nobody wants to buy it on PC anyway. It's a console game.
They're just hoping like they can just get over probably like the first week of the bullshit, but then like, oh, damn it. This isn't going away anytime.
Sucks. Sucks for them. That's why you own consoles.
That's right.
Dedicated game machines.
So, Fozzie, you've been playing something else, though. You've been playing Massive Chalice. How massive is your chalice?
Well, you know, this is a family-friendly podcast, but it's massive. I must admit. the game title itself, I don't know if it's, like, great for this title or this game. Like, I wasn't really interested at all in it, honestly, until I watched Giant Bomb. They did a quick look on it. But it's kind of Game of Thrones meets XCOM, I would say.
Yeah.
So How do I explain?
Oh no.
Yeah, so the premise is you have 300 years, there's this, like, what is it, like a disease or something that's taking over the country or the world, and there's these guardians that need 300 years to power up this, is it the chalice? I don't know. It's kind of weird. Anyways, so there's a timeline that you have to keep going, and you have to essentially survive for those 300 years. So you have dominions, like lands that you need to protect, like specific segments that you can put houses to look over the lands. And then every few years or so, there's a battle where you put people in those lands up against, you know, whatever XCOM-ish level that they have planned for it. And, yeah, I mean, again, the gameplay is turn-based combat, really fun. I've put in, I think, maybe about 3 or 4 hours into the game.
Probably more than I did.
Yeah. Like, I spent, like, honestly, the first hour, because you get to choose, there's, like, 5 different houses you get to choose from. No. 5 different houses you have to choose. And there's literally, like, hundreds of different houses to pick from. They all have their own, like, sayings. It's, like, just like Game of Thrones. So that immediately kind of captured me. And I was really excited to go through all of them, but literally I just became, like, so overwhelmed by how many choices of families you have to choose from that I just did, like, random picks.
Yeah, I had no idea. You don't know what any of it means. It's like, make all these decisions before you've played any of the tutorial or we've given you any information. It just didn't make any sense.
Yeah, exactly. So, and then also, so every house that has like a heir that you need to match with, like, you know, a person from a different family, they have babies. These babies are essentially your fighters. They're the ones that go out into the field. So within those 300 years, you have to imagine that, like, there's, you know, going to be probably 8 or 9 different generations of these families that will fight throughout the game itself. So it's, it kind of almost feels like Crusader Kings as well, as far as, like, the baby portion of it. You match the traits to, like, you want to match, like, if someone is a hunter, you want to match them with another hunter. So you get, like, a really pro hunter guy, like a really guy that's really class specific. So again, it sounds more difficult than it is. It's much easier to explain when you're in the game itself, but there's a lot in this game, and it's a free game if you have Xbox Live. It's one of the games with gold.
It's free for another, like, 6 days.
Yes. It's a Double Fine production. So you really have no excuse if you have an Xbox. I think it's on PC as well for like $20 or something. Yeah, if you like XCOM and you like Game of Thrones, I mean, I think that this game could be up your alley. It's again, there's definitely a lot there. And so, yeah. How are you liking the game so far?
Yeah, I had some fun with it. I will say the combat, when you compare it to something like XCOM, is a little thin. There's not a whole lot there.
Right.
But I think the whole breeding guys kind of makes up for it. It makes it a little more interesting. And some of the decisions you have to make, do I want to take this guy? Because once you start breeding people, you can't use them in combat ever again. It kind of removes them from their party. So trying to make those decisions, do I want to keep leveling this guy up and use him to fight forever? Or since he's so good, do I want to take him out and start breeding him with other people and trying to get them to fight? So there's some cool decisions there that you didn't ever face in XCOM, which I think make it a bit more interesting. But I just wish there was more to the combat, because that's basically what you spend your time during the game doing.
Yeah.
And the AI seems kind of dumb. Like, I don't feel under pressure by it.
Yeah. I never, like, XCOM has a great way of kind of putting, like, every single turn really felt impact, like, it's like there would be an impact to that, you know, any wrong decisions and you could get someone killed, and yeah, for this one, it didn't feel maybe as threatening. But, yeah, again, like you were saying, there's still other parts of it that kind of make up for that. And again, you have to keep in mind, this is kind of more an indie game than XCOM was, which is
right.
You know, a full
$60
game. This is, yeah, just, you know, if you get anything more than... I mean, first off, it's free, so if you get even an hour of playthrough on the Xbox, you have nothing
point.
To complain about. But, you know, this is a game where you could probably sink, you know, probably like 12 hours, I think that would probably take to get through the whole course, all 300 years. Really just depending on, you know, how good you are with XCOM-type games. But, yeah, I like the decisions, too. Like, those are pretty cool. I kind of wish, and Giant Bomb made a good point about this, like, I would love to see a game like this where, like, there's houses, and the houses are kind of colluding with against each other and things like that, so...
Yeah, some internal conflict.
Yeah, exactly. Like, there's not a lot of that in there. There's a little bit, but it's not a huge amount. Like, I've always wanted to see a good Game of Thrones type, like, BioWare RPG, you know, where you could kind of try and rule the, again, like, the
Dragon
country.
Age.
Yeah, but it's not...
I kid. Take it
but,
back,
But yeah, I mean, again, I like these houses and things like that, and it's super cool. There's even a Giant Bomb house as well that's a tribute to Ryan Davis, which is pretty neat, too, that
nice.
They created. But,
oh, that's cool.
Yeah, yeah. It's cool, and there's even, you can even play a nonsense, like a comedic way, like there's comedic houses that I guess people, it was a Kickstarter, I believe. And so one of, I think, the, what do you call them? Not the perks, but like the tiers. One of the reward tiers was name a house. So you'll see a lot of that in the game, too. But yeah. I haven't gone back to it in about a week or so, but it's surprisingly a lot. A lot better than I thought I would get out of it. Probably one of the best free games that Xbox has put out there. So you'll definitely want to snag that at the very least, just to download it so you have it before it
before it disappears.
Yeah, exactly.
Before you have to choose what are the ones for next month? Assassin's Creed and some game I've never heard of before.
I really hope Full Nation is on there for another month. That'd be great, you know.
Full Nation, yeah.
I hate that, like, they're like, oh yeah, you get two free games every month. Yeah, motherfucker, like, one of those games is always going to be there for, like, 3 months.
Well, they're going to change that.
Yeah, they just said they're changing that.
Oh, are they?
Yeah, so that you'll get two different games every month.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah.
Finally.
Definitely. And the other new game besides Assassin's Creed, I forgot the name of it, but I have to imagine that's, like, some new game they're putting up on the store, you know. I would imagine.
Have they announced the July games?
Yeah.
Yeah, they announced them today.
Oh, what are they?
Assassin's Creed 4 and some game we can't remember.
Something Eyes are in the title.
Assassin's Creed 4? Okay.
Yeah, once I'm done with Batman, I might give it a shot, but it's coming up right against Tiger Woods for me.
Well,
or, I'm sorry, not
I mean,
Woods, whatever it is.
You're definitely going to have to download it, because you should just get drunk, Hefe. Go out in the seas and just start singing the shanties with them, because that's like half the fun in that game.
I mean, I heard that's one of the best ones of the series, or of recent.
Yeah, I still think that 2 is probably going to be like my favorite. Maybe Brotherhood's up there too, but 4 was, after the shit show that was 3, 4 was a nice kind of like, okay, Assassin's Creed is somewhat back here. And Unity came out and fucked everything up again.
So Jeff, you've been playing some other stuff too, though, right? You've been playing old games.
Yeah, I have
from the olden times.
Yeah, from way back. I have a couple like retro game shops actually in town here. So I picked up, and I have a Retron 5, which, you know, I bought it, so I gotta use it, right? I picked up two Sega Genesis games, which I never owned as a kid. I owned a Sega Genesis, but I did not have many games for it. Fozzie, you were Genesis?
Yeah, I was a dude. That was it. I wasn't a Nintendo guy at all.
Alright, so maybe you'll have some input on these. I picked up one game, and it had complete in box, you know, box manual game called Zero Tolerance.
I saw you tweeting about that.
Yeah, it's a, I want to say it's from like 94 or 5, like late into the Genesis. It is, as far as I know, the only first-person shooter on the Genesis.
I'm surprised I've never heard of that game until you brought it up.
Yeah, I've never heard of it.
Yeah.
I had never heard of it until I started listening to this other podcast, which Fozzie is moonlighting on, I'm pretty sure.
No comment.
We'll talk about that. I swear to God, there's a guy on that show. It's like eerie. He has like all the, not mannerisms, the Fozzie-isms.
Sure.
It's like, it's scary, dude. I was like, I feel like, you can tell it's not you, but it is you. Anyways, I'll say the show is called Retro Game Squad, and they do like one show a month, but the show is like 3 hours long. And on the show, I heard about this game, and I went to the shop right after, and this game was there for like $8, so I was like, fuck, I'll pick it up. It's first-person shooter on 16-bit system, so you know what that entails. Not great. You don't have sticks, so what the fuck are you doing? It's, like, really not great controls, but, you know, that's what you dealt with back then. And, I don't know, there's still some charm to it. It's like Doom, you know? Like, if you ever played Doom on Super Nintendo or anything like that way back, it's like Sega's answer to Doom. It's like a sci-fi setting. Kind of feels like you're in a mix between Terminator and Aliens. It's got some cool things going for it, though, for a 16-bit title. Like, there's a lot of actual audio, like, people talking.
Ooh. Like voice samples. Can you hear what they're saying with 16-bit audio?
Yeah, it's not garbled at all. It's like, it sounds fucking pretty cool, actually. Like, anytime you run over a weapon or anything, it'll be like, it's like a lady announcer who will be like, shotgun collected. And it, like, sounds pretty clear like that, you know? I don't know, like, weird little touches where you, like, you shoot a guy, like, if he's close enough to a wall, his blood will splatter on the wall and even kind of sort of trickle down a little bit. But, yeah, it is what it is. And one funny thing is, if you ever do get a chance to play it, I should warn you that it's, like, 3/5 of the screen is HUD. And then
oh, great.
The actual first-person shooter itself is a window inside of that. Not as bad as you might think, though. Cause
that sounds pretty bad, actually.
We gotta accept. I mean, dude, I didn't think getting a first-person shooter for Sega Genesis would be amazing. It's more of a curiosity, and it's cheap. So I would say, if you see it, why not? But yeah, I played the whole first level. Who knows how far I'll get in that? I also picked up The Lion King.
Ooh, The Lion King.
I love
really?
That game.
Oh, Fozzie, I was just going to ask you, what are your memories of The Lion King? Because I might have to shatter those memories.
The only thing I can remember from that is jumping on giraffe heads.
Yes.
Being a lion. Yes. And then, like, I remember that being really fucking frustrating. That's about it.
Yeah. It's a really pretty game. Like, it's a nice platformer. But, oh my god, dude, it's insanely difficult. And I don't even know, like, some of it is kind of like, you'll have to jump across a bunch of things that are coming in and out of water, and you have to time it all perfect and shit, but, like, some of it is kind of like the controls, where it's like, you think you're gonna land somewhere, and you don't land. You're like, fuck. They're not bad or anything, but, like, even if the controls were, like, spot on, the game is just hard. There's a lot of parts that require just memorization, like playing the level over and over and getting it perfect. And you know, if you're dying and have to replay and just inch a little further each time, or you forget, you fuck up, you make one little jump wrong, going back over and over, sucks. But here's the thing. Retron 5 does save states, so it's all good, bro. I'm enjoying it. Just, all right, I made a good jump, save.
Yeah.
I fucked up.
God.
Load save.
I kind of think about now, like, video games are just unrelentingly hard.
I would say in general games are harder back then, like, just in general, but this is... Honestly, dude, it's up there. Like, for a platformer, it's kind of like, holy shit. It's good, but, like, if I didn't have save states, I wouldn't be making my way through it. I would never get past the second. The second stage is the one with the draft. I would never get past that shit.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's what I'm saying. So it's ridiculous.
But it was $6, and I don't regret one bit, because... That's the thing I love about, you know, playing games on the system is the save states, because you can get through anything with save states, you know what I mean?
Cheating.
I know it is cheating, but, I mean, God, some of these games feel built for that. Like, I don't know. And I ain't going to go around, like, back and spend, like, 30 hours trying to beat the Lion King, like, memorizing every fucking all six levels or whatever the fuck it is. So
that's a good point.
You know what I mean? So it's fun. It's fun to go back and visit some of these games. But yeah, I think that's about it for me. I think that's all I've been playing.
Did you buy Streets of Rage 2?
Have I played it?
Well, do you have that?
I have it on Sega Ultimate Genesis Collection in a box.
Fair enough. Okay.
Which will soon be backwards compatible, hopefully.
Fingers crossed.
Probably not.
That sounds like something that should be certainly backwards compatible.
Yeah.
I don't know. There's 50 games on that disc, though, so it's like, what if one person... Well, I guess Sega published them all, right?
Right, they're all Sega games, so...
Just waiting for Rare Replay.
Alright, yeah, so...
Fozzie, Elite Hi. Dangerous.
Yes. Elite Dangerous, some of you might remember I am pretty big into that for the PC. I've even spent well over $200 on a HOTIS for it.
So, oh, God.
Yes.
On a what?
Beautiful. A HOTIS.
What is a HOTIS?
Hold on, let me see. It's a...
You don't even know what it is. You're like, no. This is an Elite Dangerous thing. I must have it.
It's a shiny thing I put on my ship.
It's an acronym.
Sexy.
Hands-on Throttle and Stick.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy. Indeed.
That sounds exciting, actually.
Yeah, dude, it's very exciting. So why don't you lay off for a second and listen? It's
all right.
Super cool. I got my throttle. I've got my joystick. I got all these knobs. So essentially, I can play right off of that, and I don't need anything else. Anyways, so I am really heavily into that game, and I bought it, of course, because Star Citizen's coming out. I mean, Eve Valkyrie's coming out. Like, all these awesome, kick-ass. Space combat sims are coming out, so I bought it for all of those. Anyways, so Elite Dangerous, per the E3 combo, is now early access for the Xbox One. And you can actually download it, and you can play up to 60 minutes free. It does not let you start a game per se, it lets you do all the training missions. So why it's only 60 minutes and it doesn't even give you the game, it doesn't really make any sense. It should just have those training missions just for you to play around with.
You could buy the work in progress, though, can't you?
You could.
Whatever you want to call it, yeah.
So, in case people here are, you know, console peasants, PC gamers like to call these game previews early access games. So, essentially... What it is it's a good excuse for people to make money off of games that they can just say, hey, this is broken. Whoever is on here is not our problem. But if you want this game, give us some money. Usually you'll get it at a discounted price as well, as opposed to when it's going to be out. But essentially, it's like being in an alpha version of a product. So that is out there for Elite Dangerous right now.
Here's my question, bro. Yeah,
sure.
Do those games become real games ever?
Yeah, most of the time.
Of course. Yeah.
Because like, isn't that DayZ game still not a game?
Not exactly. I think that it's a game now. And for example, Elite Dangerous, I bought it when it was in beta, and then it became the full version. As I had it, they released version 1.0. So I mean, yeah, a lot of times with these people, they might keep it in the beta for a lot longer, maybe, than they would have if they weren't making money off of it. But I mean, as far as what I've played early access games, these games are nearly finished. I mean, they aren't like in some sort of process where the game is super incomplete. Maybe there might be a few missions here and there that's missing, but again, these games are nearly finished products of the game itself. So when I heard that it came out for the Xbox One, I was pretty interested in it. From what I've played, again, I was only able to play an hour of it, but the controls are pretty good. I don't know if everything... I asked Ryan, Airstrike Rhino, about that, as far as how they map everything. Because even when I was using the 360 controller before I got my my HOTUS, it's still... I used the keyboard for some... like a few different commands. So apparently he says that it's a full-fledged game. It's just like the PC one, which is pretty cool. The only thing I don't like is that I don't think I can do crossplay with it. If I could do crossplay with this, it would be a no-brainer to buy this. But for me to buy Elite Dangerous and then put as many hours that I put into...
Yeah, I was going to say, it's a time investment more than anything.
It is. Like,
if you just transfer your progress over...
Yeah, it's definitely not like a few-hour game. This is a... No, you can put 100 hours into this game and just barely scratch the surface. So, I mean... It's like playing a JRPG and then deciding to play it on a different system and not being able to cross-play. No, that's crazy for me. So, yeah, I might hold off on this just because, again, why should I play it on the Xbox when I already have a superior console or PC and a system set up for it on the PC as well? I live in a studio, so it's not going to make a difference if I see it on my computer or if I see it on my TV. It's still going to look nice. So, if you don't have the PC version, I would at least download it, give it a try, see if it's something you might like. Again, Space Combat Simulators, it looks like they're making a comeback, but as far as ones that are going to be on consoles, they're going to be pretty limited. So Elite Dangerous is a fun game, but there is definitely a learning curve. And if you don't... I almost gave up on the game, essentially. I literally, like, a difference of 30 minutes between me clicking with the game and just, like, throwing it out was there. I was like, I don't know how to do anything. This game is almost realistic to a fault. But that's kind of what I love about it, is that there's just little things, like, as far as even for docking, you have to, once you get to the docking station... There's a certain like range of when you can even request access to the docking port. So you have to be 7,500 or 7.5 kilometers away or less, then you can request docking. At that point, you can't have your guns out, or then they'll give you a warning. And then on top of that, you cannot just dock in any specific port. You have to dock in the actual one that they gave you, and then you have to be the one to lower yourself onto that docking station. And then, on top of that, you have to go in a certain direction. You can't just go in there all willy-nilly. There's a specific way you have to go and dock. It is super insane, but it feels super satisfying.
You're giving me flashbacks to Top Gun on the NES. where you're trying to land on the aircraft carrier.
Yeah. It can almost feel like that. And, like, So there's there's even a mechanism where you can get it auto-docking, like, in the game, but it's so janky and it's so broken that you can't even rely on that. So, like, apparently you do have to master docking. Again, like, space travel is a whole different, like, you know, if you are far away from someone else, if you're 100 light years away, it might take you an hour to get there, especially with a smaller ship, because there's jump drives in specific ships that are larger than others, so you might have to take a different path. On top of that, for example, you can get, like, stuck. I've ran out of fuel before 45 minutes into a fucking area because I hit four or five planets where I couldn't fuel scoop from the sun, and there was no, like, outpost, so I was just dead in the water. On top of that, let's say you buy a ship at one space station and you're, like, 200 light years away. It won't just show up in that other space station. It's still in that one space station that you left it at. So if you have multiple ships, the ship will stay in that same one that you were at, that it is at. It will not follow you.
So it's not like the Call of Duty garage, or I'm sorry, the Grand Theft Auto garage where you could just go up to any garage.
Exactly, no, it's like, okay, this ship is 200 light years away, you better go get it. Again, this game is, it's not for someone that doesn't have time to kill, essentially. Like, you gotta put effort into it. But, again, it's an experience unlike anything I've ever played because of that reason. It's, once the Rift comes out, I mean, this will be the closest thing to realism that I'll probably ever play in a system in my life so far because of just how intense it is. It is a great game for that, but again, there's definitely issues with it too. That being said, after all I've told you, you'll know the type of person you're going to be to like this. You have to
It sounds like I can understand why people like it, but for me, it sounds like something I just
again, yeah, and I can totally get that. I can totally get that because.
But I get why people like it. It's not like the idea of it sounds cool.
Yeah, it's like the same thing with like Dark Souls. Essentially, it's like either you're going to love that type of game or you're not. And I mean, again, it's just that type of game. So me personally, I enjoy it because it gives me a different experience that I don't feel with other games can do. So yeah. Yeah, that's what I gotta say about that game.
I'm scared of it.
It's intimidating, but...
I mean, dangerous is right in the title, so I'm kind of...
It is elite dangerous. It's like, hey, let's just take two words that sound cool.
It's kind of weird.
Make a game out of this.
Bash them together. Yeah.
Work with this. Yeah, I mean, again, there's a 60-minute trial, so, I mean, you could give it a shot. And honestly, the first 10 hours, I didn't know what I was doing, so I felt like... If you have, it's like Monster Hunter. Remember when
I
like,
feel like 60 minutes would not be enough. I feel like
no,
just
it
learning
wouldn't.
Tutorials,
honestly,
I would not know.
Like 60 minutes, I really don't know why there's like this time limit, especially since you don't even get to start a game. It's just training stuff. So that should just be a demo. You can play as much as you want. But remember, like in Monster Hunter, when like we didn't know what armors did what, so we would just go around just killing monsters and we weren't, like, leveling up.
Steep learning curve, yeah.
Once we got the hang of it, that game got so much better. And we had kind of a more, like, just a more solid path on what we want to do. Well, that's, like, Elite.
Yeah.
Is me, Sean, I think Ryan, and Sharpshot, we all got into it. We didn't really know what the fuck we were doing. And then eventually we're like, okay, so we want to save up for this ship. What's the best way to go about that? Finally, we figure out you gotta go to resource extraction sites. That's where all the heavy duty bounties are. And then that's when the game got fun, is because we were actually making enough money to buy ships, to buy your upgrades and things like that. But again, this type of game, I don't see why I would want to have it on the Xbox One, have it on the PC, and have to essentially start over, because, like, again, if you're playing Monster Hunter, you wouldn't want to, like, have your guy that you put 60 hours into
no,
and want to start
no.
a new guy to just because it's on a different console, that seems just crazy. Everything nowadays should be crossplay. I mean, gamers are getting older. We don't have fucking 100 hours to waste during the summertime to, like, play these games. It's, you gotta make it more accessible.
It's true. All right, last thing I got here is Halo.
Oh,
Halo.
I mean, again, we can't really talk too much about it. I mean, we got about like 30 minutes of. We tried playing. It was super laggy for us, though.
It didn't work. Is this the Master Chief Collection? They still haven't fixed it? Is that what you're telling
me? No. I think it's me. I think it was my internet was acting up.
Dude, I don't know. I mean, again, you said that it. You were fine when you were playing with other people, not...
When I was playing just multiplayer, like, you know, regular multiplayer, yeah, it was fine. And it's still fine.
Right, exactly. So, I mean,
But we went to play co-op.
Yeah.
And not so much.
Yeah, it was super janky. Like, even the cutscenes were, like, chugging along.
Pretty... 2 frames per second.
Yeah. So it made it really awkward because that was... We started out playing, like, a ship part, like, towards the end, where you have to kind of zigzag. It's kind of like a Death Star run type deal. So, Hefe was hosting, and I'm like, oh god, this is terrible, because, you know, like, 1 second I'd be on one side, and then the fucking pillar would be, like, right in front of me, and I'm like, oh god, there's no time to turn. There's no stopping in this part.
Like,
too,
it would pause and skip to where all of a sudden, like, you're flying, and then all of a sudden I'm in a wall. I'm like, oh, shit.
So, I mean, like, it's... And the shooting part is, you know, once you get off the plane part, it's somewhat playable,
not for me. It was. I was
kind of disappointed, because I thought that they fixed everything, but... I don't know. Maybe you're right. Maybe it was your internet, or I don't know what's going on. Maybe it was mine, but yeah, it was.
Well, what happened was I was hosting it, and you were like, "Dude, this is really bad." And I was like, "Okay." I was like, "For me, on my end, it was perfectly smooth." So I was like, "Well, I'll just you try hosting." So then Fozzy hosted, running fine for him, and for me, it was like everything Fozzy was complaining about for the last 10 minutes. I was like, "Oh, I see now." So I don't know what it was. You know, whoever was hosting was fine, and there was no lag, and whoever was, you know, the guest in that game was just, it fell apart.
Yeah.
So.
Again, it's not like we live in different countries. You live in Chicago, so.
Yeah.
I mean, the lag should not have been that bad. It might be interesting maybe to try playing with someone else that has it, and seeing if I'm getting the same issue. Like, I kind of forget just how good Master Chief Collection could be. I mean, Halo's a great franchise, and you have 4 Halos there, plus ODST. I mean, the only thing you're missing out on is Halo Reach. So, I would like to go back and play those Halos again, or get some time into those.
I've been playing it here and there. It's an awesome collection, man. Like, yeah. I'm really happy. I'm really happy I didn't like snap and sell it or anything,
because
I'm happy I have it. It's pretty much like, essential, I'd say.
Yeah, I don't mind remasters or like collections where you're getting multiple games in a franchise. I feel like that is something. I don't like, you know, Sleeping Dog remasters, which is like, okay, you get DLC for one game, polish up the graphics a little bit and call it $60. No.
Even that Gears one, I'm kind of like,
nope. Gears? You get one Gears?
Come on. Yeah, that's a little sad. I am disappointed that that's what the collection is.
But this one, like the Uncharted collection, like that's... Okay, you're getting 3 games there, you know? And it's nothing above $60. So, to me, that's a pretty good deal. That makes sense. I'm not excited for that Gears at all.
I mean,
to get beta access? No.
For one game, it just...
Yeah.
I feel like they've always exaggerated the importance of the Gears franchise, too. Chris isn't here, so I can...
Oh, yeah, let's just tear it apart. Here's my Gears experience. Every one of them, I'm like, no, I'm not going to get that. And I buy it, like, the night it comes out. Like, I end up going at midnight. I'm the guy who didn't pre-order. And I think they might have good timing where it's like the game comes out when nothing else is out that I want.
Right, because Microsoft has control over that.
Yeah, so I don't know. That's the only way you're going to get me to get Gears 1 again is if it's like been 3 months since I've had anything and I'm dying.
Right.
That's about it.
Like, I think we played some Horde mode, which is pretty fun.
Yeah,
and I
it's
mean,
fun.
They invented that. Yeah. That's I give them credit for that. Don't get
yeah,
me wrong.
And I actually think that the storyline's decent. You know, I can actually somewhat follow it. And I when I was thinking about it, I'm like, I could actually do some more Gears. It's been a while since I've played some just ridiculous, over-the-top, testosterone-driven fucking shoot 'em up. But, yeah. I mean, one Gears game, that doesn't excite me at all. Then, again, I think they showed off some footage at E3, and Gears has always been kind of like one of those games where the visuals were always super important to see, and I wasn't really wowed by that. So, it'll be interesting to see how the franchise takes off. Let's see.
Yeah, it looked like Gears. But the game... The new one that they showed did look kind of more like on the horror end, which I liked. So,
sure, yeah, and I thought like didn't Trilogy kind of like tie everything up pretty nicely? Did they destroy everything, or I mean, was this Gears going to be like in the future somewhere and you're coming back, or
I that's the feeling I got was that it's like a return. Okay. I don't know though.
Yeah. Okay.
I could be completely wrong.
Yeah, I honestly, I didn't see too much of your stuff, or I was at work, so. Yeah.
All right. That was all I had. Do we have any news we want to talk about? Do we want to talk about the Confederate flag?
Sure.
No.
I could do that.
I mean... I'm in total agreement. It's always...
I'm gonna guess it. It's bad.
Yeah. I understand...
Except they removed all the Civil War games from iOS.
Oh,
store.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, oh, I did see that.
All of them.
Oh. That's a bit, like, fucked up. That's not the same thing. Flying the Confederate flag in your capital is not the same thing as a Civil War game. You know what I mean?
I know exactly what you mean.
Like, one is the state, like, the government of that state endorsing something. One's a video game about history.
Right. One is placing the flag in its historical context.
Like, in reality, yeah. And one is a video game about the past. So it's, like,
right.
Way different yeah. thing. Like, way overreaction on that part.
Yeah, I'm glad to see that this is starting to, you know, I mean, even Mitt Romney. You know,
yes.
Tweet about that. Well, this is great.
Well, I am happy that they're taking the flag down, because fuck yeah. that shit.
No, I am too. Like, I remember when I would drive up north I-95, I forgot if it was South Carolina, I think it was South Carolina, but when you're up, or sorry, not I-5, I-95, you go up there was a Confederate flag right on the highway. There,
that's offensive, I think. It really is.
I think it is, too, and I understand that the historical impact, and I am from the South, I get that, but you have to understand that...
You're celebrating war that you lost.
Yeah, and also your historical impact affects others in a very negative way, so it's like your selfishness really is hindering on a lot of other people as well with that flag, so in the long run... It was bound to happen, you know? It's like, it's just like, you know, these, well, not to compare the two, obviously, it's a little different, but these football and baseball team names, like the Redskins and
like, whatever.
And stuff.
I think they're fucking racist assholes. Like, there's no other interpretation that I have.
Even when people start making that historical argument, you want to hit them in the head, because if you look at the actual history of the flag, like, it was dead in the South. Until the end of segregation. Like, they brought it back as a symbol of oppression.
Sure.
Yeah.
The only people who flew the Confederate flag after the Civil War were... It was basically flown at funerals of veterans of the war. That's a, yeah. That was the only time you saw
it. That and whatever, you know. But,
right, and so. Again, that's, yeah.
Anybody standing here saying, oh, my family has had this flag around for generations, it's not true. It's just simply not true.
I just think it's better in the long run as a nation that we kind of – you don't have to admit that things like this didn't happen. But
you don't have to celebrate
it
either.
Just
you don't have to
have that. It does.
You lost. You live in America.
Right.
You don't live
in the Confederacy.
Like, it's over.
True. Yeah, exactly.
God damn it. You're lucky, you know, we don't consider that treason.
I mean, yeah. Yeah. Exactly. But and again, like, you don't need to have, if you want to have that in your home or something, I mean, that's your prerogative, but have that wave in, like, a government building. Yeah, that's. That's where it's like, okay, like how welcome even someone like me who like really wasn't affected in any sort of way, but I feel uncomfortable looking at that. Like anytime it's waving around, and let alone in public, let alone in a government like establishment. So, I mean, again, that's just something that if you want to keep in your house, who am I to stop you? That's who you are, but. Yeah, that needs to be kind of out of the public eye, I think.
Yeah. I feel like my ancestors, you know, fought so that, you know, people couldn't fly that flag anywhere. So, you know, get rid of that damn thing.
All
right.
Yeah, I think, I don't know, do we have, can we make fun of Nintendo? Should we make fun of Nintendo?
We should. Let's make fun of Nintendo.
What do we have?
You know what I love
now?
Was when you put that tweet up there that said, please understand, like 50 million.
I said it a week before. I don't know if you saw it.
Yeah, I know, and they apologized, which is so great. Like,
I called
for
that
having a shit, like, conference.
And here I am, a resident Nintendo fan, and a week out I'm going, they're going to fuck this up, dude.
They've been fucking up for the past years. Like, and you know what? I like those little tidbit type like E3 conferences that they have, the video ones. But I think that you still should have a big conference to put out something exciting, you know?
Well, even if it's just a Nintendo Direct, like you gotta have a couple bigger announcements.
Feel like Nintendo Direct should be aimed for like smaller maybe announcements. Then you just,
I'm fine with it.
And then if you want to, like, just, like, make, like, a quick 30-minute or, like, hour-long Nintendo conference, like, at E3, do that. But, like, oh, God. I mean, fucking you people and your goddamn amiibos. That's what's keeping Nintendo alive.
My people?
Your people.
I fucking broke off, like, the South. Like, I don't.
There's someone that,
Jeff seceded from Nintendo.
I got a fucking flag against amiibos up in my place right now.
You got your Confederate amiibo flag?
Alright. I have not bought a single one. Not one. Like, at some of them, like, I look at it, I'm like, oh, it looks cool, but I'm like, that's like $13, and I'm never gonna use that thing for anything.
Right.
So, fuck that.
$13, yeah, you'd be lucky to find that at fucking MSRP rates now. But, I mean, it's like, yeah, Nintendo always finds a way to kind of not... It's almost like they're just, like, not addressing any sort of problem head-on. They're like, okay, we can make something else. We can, use people's, you know, fucking... God damn it, what am I thinking of? What word am I thinking of? Nostalgia. You can use their nostalgia... Wrap it up in a little bow and call it a day, you know? Yeah.
I think that will be a decision.
Hey, you're coming really,
I can't hear you, Hefe.
Yeah, I can't hear.
Hefe, what's Hello? Happening?
Hello?
You're back.
Am I back?
You are back.
Okay. I don't think they blow it, like, knock it out of the park lately, last couple of years, but there were things, at least last year, that were kind of exciting, you know what I mean? Or even things like Splatoon that was, like, unheard of, and you didn't really know how good it was going to be, but it ended up being a pretty good game. But this year was just, like, there was nothing. It was just, and anything they had, it was not even there was nothing. It's like, here's an Animal Crossing game, but It's really a board game. Here's a Metroid game, but it's not a Metroid game. And that really fucking hurt. I was like, we know what you kind of want, but we're not going to do that.
Right. I mean, they know, like, this E3 was great because I felt that no matter what your opinion is on these games, they kind of listened to what people wanted. And
except for Nintendo. Other than
exactly,
Nintendo,
exactly. But yeah, exactly. This E3 was, as far as E3 goes, this is nearly as perfect as you get it, except for Nintendo. They, you know, yeah. Again, like, where is the Pokemon Snap? Why? This frustrates me.
Where's anything?
It's so obvious to do it, because you have the fucking gamepad.
Right, if you're going to do one, if someone in your company wanted to do one, this is the console to get it out on. It doesn't matter. Shit, I might even push a lot of units. You never know.
And instead of using the gamepad, which they should be utilizing, they're now using just the amiibos. That's it. So, like, it's like...
It hurts, Fozzie.
It hurts because, like, Nintendo, sometimes I feel like they just don't know what they're doing. It's like they have these franchises and they're like, okay, well, we can just keep putting these out there, and as long as Mario is still Mario... People will always buy it. It will always happen. But, like, they want to be this innovative company, but they don't know how to be innovative, I feel like.
They want to do it while using cheap tech in a lot of ways is, I feel, their problem. Like, step up and fucking be like the other systems, like, on the same level as a basis, and then any creative idea you want to do on top of that, go ahead. But it's always they're always a step behind in terms of the tech. You know what I mean?
What I like about Sony and Microsoft is that they can be innovative, but they put their innovation as a side thing, so that
exactly.
Okay,
that's what I'm saying.
If the Kinect doesn't work, you still have a great controller that you're going to love to hold in your hand, and you're going to enjoy. You're going to know what you're going to get with Nintendo. They put their innovation in the forefront, and then they immediately abandon it so that they do the same thing that other companies do, except that they can't abandon it because the gamepad, this big fucking bulky thing that has 2-hour lifespan and you need it to play any sort of Wii game, it's the gamepad's useless. They didn't utilize it correctly. And now you're kind of stuck with that because they don't have... That's not a side thing. That's the console. You need that. Like, it's you can't just play with the 360,
yeah.
You know, the Pro Controller. You need that thing. And so it's frustrating because, like, they're not getting that through their fucking goddamn thick heads. Is that you can do innovation, but innovation needs to be a side thing. So that, let's say the Sony Morpheus doesn't work out, that's okay because that's a side thing for them. The Move did not work out for them. That's okay. It's a side thing.
The Wii U controller could have been like a $150 side controller. You know what I mean? And it comes
exactly.
With the
it could have. Yeah. In that aspect, it would have been a little bit better because they could have designed games specifically using that. And I guarantee you, those games would have been a lot more fun.
Yeah, and they could have sold the console for $250 at launch, or whatever. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Instead of was. It was like when the PS4 and Xbox One came out, it was comparable in price to the Wii U. And the Wii U is not the same hardware. You know what I mean? It's like, why would you not just spend $50 more and get a PS4?
Right. Exactly. I don't know. Even like, I was watching this thing about the evolution of controllers, and they had like a... It's really cool. It's kind of like a 3D model of every single controller for the big three right now. And you look at Sony and Microsoft, and all they've done is try to improve on what they have. Then Nintendo comes in, and besides
they have to reinvent the wheel every time.
Yeah, besides the crazy people that like the GameCube controller, like, it's...
Whoa, both of them.
Jeff and one other guy.
Yeah, exactly.
Hold on here. You don't like the GameCube controller?
Yeah, it's a garbage controller made for garbage.
That controller is terrible.
Wow. That is in the top three controllers ever made. You guys are nuts.
No one except crazy people would agree with that. But anyways, I'm not here to make fights or accusations. But
wow,
that's why I'm here, though.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, man, but what I'm saying is that, like, yeah, they just take a controller.
They think their console has to have a gimmick. They think it has to have a gimmick every time.
Well, because they feel that they can't, or they don't want to compete with, like, the other ones. They don't want to get, like, too close to the other ones. But, again, you have to look at the facts is that, like, Nintendo still works because people still have a good, because our generation still loves Nintendo, and we'll still always love Nintendo. But 50 years from now, where are video games going to be? Is Nintendo still going to be viable? Are people still going to love Mario like they do now?
That'll exist.
It's, again, in the short term, everything is still working honky-dory, but, again, this Nintendo NX, if you're just going to give me some more innovative garbage that will get me excited for all but a few minutes, I mean, again, it's, you know, there's only so many times I could give Nintendo a chance, you know? I mean, they're Nintendo. They are a staple, but, like, at some point they have to look at the other competition. They have to say, okay, maybe we should make a controller that people would feel comfortable with and then put our innovation on the side. Because that would work fantastic.
I love how people, and I think them as well, will be like, well, we don't have to compete with the other ones. It's like, well, you are in competition. That's the same marketplace. Like, what are you talking about?
Right.
I understand you could carve out your niche or whatever, but you're number three then. You know what I mean?
I understand they're a more family-friendly console, but
it's about money.
Then, I mean, kids nowadays, they're not... I feel like kids are a lot older than we used to be. Like, when we were 8 or 9, we would wear...
The kids are older than we used to be.
Sorry. not older, more so mature. Tired. More mature, sorry. But, yeah. Like, you know, we would wear tie-dye t-shirts and freaking overalls and stuff. We didn't give a shit about what we wore.
Motherfucker.
But, yeah, now it's like, you know, kids have access to all this stuff on the internet and Twitter and social media, and they just... I feel that, again, like I was saying, is that they're just a lot more mature, so they might want a mature console that is an entertainment console, you know, something that has everything on there, not just games and stuff, so.
Maybe they want their next Minecraft and Super Mario Maker is it. Maybe that's going to be the answer to the Wii U's problems.
Right.
I kid. Yeah. But I'm sure that's what they're thinking.
I'm sure that's what they want to think.
A lot of the games press was really impressed by that game. I don't know. I'll get it. I don't even know what the price point is on that. If it's $60, though, I'm not getting it.
Maybe $39.99. Does that sound good?
Yeah. Well, and I mean, just $49. I had zero interest in it, but the way everyone who came out of that conference was like, that was the best thing that Nintendo had, and I'm super excited for that. Like, everyone come out of that is talking about that, and I'm like, I don't know, I don't see it. Like, I don't like to build levels, like, but the way it sounds like it's easier than in most games.
I mean, when they were, like, showcasing the Nintendo World Championship, I was like, holy shit, this looks really cool. But at the same time, is it going to be like Little Big Planet, where these levels are really interesting, but there's only a few to play from, and... Like, what is the difficulty factor as far as how to make these? Because I remember, like, I tried making a Little Big Planet level, and those are kind of difficult, and...
Yeah,
Felt kind of shoddy. I think that because Super Mario is a little more simplistic, you could get a little more creative with it, like they did in the Nintendo World Championship, which might be nice, but, yeah. Again, I don't want to consider that like a final like part of what to anticipate compared to the real game itself.
Yeah, I don't know. It's got positive buzz, but
yeah,
I'm not like even then. I'm still like that's not what I want. I want Mario Galaxy 3. Yeah, I want like, Mario Sunshine 2. Right. And, you know, I want if you're gonna do Mario, then give me like what I want, like a full 3D Mario.
Right. Instead, now you can make your own 3D games. Like, hey, maybe you guys can do it better than us.
I can make my own 2D ones.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is all right, I guess, but I played a billion of those, you know.
I guess we've made fun of Nintendo for enough for one night.
True. But can we make fun of Shenmue? No.
Yes. Please do.
Did you see the thing about that, Fozzie, where like the guy says he needs $10 million now?
Yeah, I'm not really happy. I feel like I kinda got the reach around kind of bullshit here.
I mean, we all knew from the beginning that they asked for way less money than it actually took to actually make the game.
Well, again, a lot of speculation was, oh yeah, Sony's going, you know, front the bill for a lot of this. This is just
they're not.
Yeah, and so
they're
now
going
it's
to marketing. You know, Sony's marketing. Yeah, they're like, they'll be like, it's out on the store. Here you go.
I just love that, like, their whole thing was that, oh, we're going to make a game true to the air games. It's going to be just like the sequel that people always wanted. And then blatantly someone asked, is this $2 million going to be enough to make an open world game? And he said, no, it's not going to be enough to make an open world game. I'm like, well,
he said it could do the story, and it's like, well, okay. So what, is it cutscenes then?
I'm kind of like, you know, I'm deciding on, if it doesn't hit at least like 5 million... which he said was the next kind of big step for the game, I might just take my money out, because if you're telling me that if it doesn't hit $5 or $10 million, it's not going to be the game that, you know, it's not going to be open world, which was what Shenmue is, then he kind of just lied to me and I'm not feeling that. Yeah, that's just, I don't know. I guess it kind of goes to show. Well, no, I mean, it just kind of goes to show that you can't have a big title like that on Kickstarter. It's not feasible. Even though that this is one of the fastest growing Kickstarters, it made $2.5 million the first day or so, but now it kind of is like at a dead.
Well, that's also people going, well, if Sony's paying for this, what the fuck? I would say
part
of it,
just,
you know.
I feel like
why am I throwing money in?
Right. Right, like, why should you put your money in when, again, the way that they kind of said everything and how it is, it just felt a little shady.
It's shady all around, it's vaporware. Never gonna happen.
Well, I mean, it's gonna happen, obviously, but the game that people want. So it's at 3.6 million right now, so I mean... Let's just say the last, like, 4 or 5 days, it's going to see another bump. So I think it would hit at least 5 million. But it's not going to hit 10 million. There's no way. I can't see them hitting 10 million. Because you're going to get the most money on your first day, and then the second, and then the last day is going to, that's when you're going to see the second most money come in. So, I mean.
Yeah. Maybe push to 6 million. And then Sony just closed that gap.
Right. But, it's just, I felt a little shady. Now they've got all these that are new tiers up, but I don't know. I don't know what to anticipate. We'll see. Kickstarter's just reeling in the dough, so they probably aren't too mad about it.
Yeah.
What, they take like 10% off cut? It's like a flat 10.
Oh, no, I don't know. I don't know, bro.
Alright, well. I think we've made fun of games enough. I know it's getting pretty late, so maybe we'll call it.
I believe that's at the end.
This is the end. So, next week we'll make fun of more Nintendo stuff. It'll be good.
Can we make fun of Gears again when Chris is here?
Sure.
Go ahead.
Sweet.
Yeah. You have our permission to do that.
All right. Say goodnight, Fozzie.
Goodnight.